For Thomas Matters Radio, this is Mark Collier. Podcast back for today on September the 21st. We're going to have Brian Sand in to talk about merchants and music. Sponsor today, Omega Processing Solutions. It's never too early to start planning for your holiday season. That's true for everybody, but right now I'm talking to small business owners. 2015 marked the ninth straight year that gift cards were the most requested gift item. Sounds weird to me, but it's true. Are you missing out on those sales opportunities by not having an established gift card program? Well, with over 100 days left till Black Friday, yes, we are getting close to Black Friday. Now is the time to start preparing for these upcoming holiday season shopping. Omega Processing Solutions offers customized gift card and loyalty programs built for your business. Plus, with Omega Processing's gift and loyalty program, you can order professionally designed accessories like envelopes, display stands, card holders, window clings, and Omega Processing's easy-to-use gift card and reward card program can help make your holiday shopping season brighter. That means more sales. Contact their customer service team at 866-888-9724. That's extension 7. Once again, 866-888-9724, extension 7. Or for more information, getting your program up and rolling before the holiday crunch begins, visit omegap.com. So again, on the show, we've got Brian Sand talking about merchants and music. That will be this Saturday, September the 24th at Tower Park in Fort Thomas. Always a good event. Fort Thomas Matters is the media sponsor for the event this year. And we are really, really proud to work with the city of Fort Thomas on this event. It's become the signature event in Fort Thomas. Last year, we set a record crowd with Bret Michaels. This year, we have Grammy Award nominee Brothers Osborne. So we're going to talk to Brian about what's new this year, what it's like to book the bands, you know, all the secrets that you don't hear in the media or don't see how the sausage gets made. Brian definitely does know the inside scoop on this. We also have Linda Sloan, who's the Merchants and Music Chair, and she'll be calling in remotely to give us a little bit of insight and taste about what to expect as well. So first Linda, and then Brian. So we have Linda Sloan on the Fort Thomas Matters podcast studio phone. Linda is in her second year of chairing the Merchants and Music Festival. She's also co-chaired another year, so she's going to have great insight as to what we can expect this year, what's new. Linda, how are you?
I am fine. It's just we're in our crazy moments this week.
Well, so you're busy this week, right?
Just slightly, yes.
Well, you've been busy for a year. The planning of Merchants and Music literally starts almost the day after the previous festival ends. Is that right? I think I've heard you say that before.
That is right. I mean, we start looking at what we're doing that day and making mental notes of what we need to tweak or change for next year or what we need to add. And then we have our meeting that next week to go over everything and then start looking for the bands and see what we want to add to the festival. So, yeah, you know, it's a year-round planning event.
And it's a big undertaking. You have, obviously, you're the chair of the event. But you have a big crew that helps you.
There is a huge crew. It could not be done without the Renaissance Board. It's with Debbie Buckley, you know, from the City Building. We've got Brian Sand, Tracy Davis, Ken Warden, Kim Rector, Mark Roth, Frank Tweehues, Nancy Myers, and Mike Madonna. We couldn't do it without the whole board. It really takes every single one of us to get this together. And then we have a whole host of other volunteers that's helping us in the ticket booth, the VIP booth, the beer booths. We couldn't do it without our volunteers. Well, that I'm very thankful for.
The bourbon booth, too, right?
Yes, the bourbon booth, too, yes.
You know, I'm pouring cocktails at that booth. Did you
see
that?
I've seen that, yeah.
I'm excited to do that, and that's a new feature this year. The bourbon is a new feature. Talk about some of the new things that you guys have this year.
And the bourbon, Brian can answer all those questions on that because he wanted to do this last year. So this is something that is his baby, and he worked out all the details and got that all together. The kids zone is just going to be phenomenal. We have ramped up the kids zone to where that every kid and maybe even some of the adults are going to have a great time. We've got Elsa and Anna coming, the Madcap Theater with Mickey See, Mickey Do. Then we've got Cool Critters coming. We've got the Bearded Dragon. And then we have Captain America and Spider-Man and Snow White. And then we're going to have magicians and stilt walkers. And that's besides all of our other things that we're doing with the Children's Art Academy, Lowe's and Home Depot, YMCA ducking booths, and the inflatable. So that is from 1 to like around 6. That kid zone, I know, will be packed. And I think that's the exciting part of the day.
Yeah, and I'm also going to be volunteering my time in the dunking booth. I'm not going to tell anybody when I'm going to be there. I know people want to get a chance to dunk me, I guess. Brian Sand is in the podcast studio right now and just gave me a thumbs up on that.
Well, whenever that you're in there, and you know, a quick Facebook little mention, yeah. It'll be packed.
Okay, all right. Linda, what are you most excited about this festival on Saturday?
Just the fact that we all have been able to do this year after year and have such great fun. You know, it's adding to the kids zone, adding to the bourbon, getting such great bands. You know, we have 7 bands that's going to be there. We have 75 booths, retail, and food and food trucks. And there's just so much that's going on that on that day. It's just exciting because somebody asked me, you know, when do you realize, you know, what's going on? And I said, when Debbie and I stand there at the top of the bowl, looking down at the amphitheater, seeing all the people, and it's like 9:30 usually in the evening, and we said, we're throwing a great party. And, you know, and we know that everybody is having such a blast, and that's when you know you feel good and you've done a good job.
Well, get a little rest before now and Saturday. Let's hope we have great weather planned. Let's get let's keep our record of no arrests on that day. Let's have a good day. Let's do a lot of sales for our local businesses. I want to say more than anything, thank you, Linda, for chairing this event, because like I said at the beginning of this interview, it's a 365-day process. I know intimately some of the things that you guys have to do and make sure that this party goes off right. So from the Fort Thomas community, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for talking with me today and getting this on the podcast. And I think everybody's going to have a great day and can't wait to say, let the festivities begin on that day.
Well, Linda, we'll talk soon. And thanks for so much for being on the podcast. We'll check back in with you.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Okay, so now we have in studio Brian Sand, who is the Renaissance Board Chairman. Brian, do you have a title for Merchants and Music?
I am just another Renaissance Board member for Merchants and Music. We kind of all work together as a team to kind of make the day go off the right way. You know, a lot of the folks on Renaissance Board have been on for a long time, and so everyone's kind of got their roles the day of the festival, but also leading up to the festival. So we kind of have our own little niches that we work on. Most of the stuff I work on is beer and bourbon related.
Well, let's start there. So, why are you delegated to those two functions?
Well, it's interesting. When I first started helping out the Renaissance Board, I wasn't on the Renaissance Board. This is like 3 years ago. We had a
Who was the headliner that year? To give context,
the headliner the year I started helping out was John Michael Montgomery. I wasn't really involved with Renaissance Board, but they had asked about beer sponsorships, and then we'd never had a beer sponsor for Merchants of Music. And I have a background in beer sales and beer events. I used to work for Heidelberg Distributing Budweiser, and I did a lot of events and stuff downtown with all the bars, restaurants, Bengals, Reds.
That and you have stuff. A keg in your house.
I do have a kegerator at the house, yes. It's a good situation.
So that those are the two requisite, you know, characteristics that you need to be in charge of the beer at Merchants and Music. You have to have a kegerator in your house. And you have to have worked in the industry, is that right?
I think so. I think, you know, just a little bit of a knowledge on how kind of festivals work with sponsorships and how beer booths and that kind of stuff work. And so the first year they kind of just asked like general questions and how I could kind of it's kind of steered them in the right direction. I'm like a couple people in town that they needed to talk to. I think Christian Moorline sponsored that first year. And I don't think they really did a whole lot of dollar sponsorships, but they gave a lot of support and I think they poured their product for that festival. I actually didn't even make it to that festival. I was out of town. And so they, I guess, ended up having an opening on Renaissance Board, and I guess I must have made an impression on somebody. So they asked me to come on board, and so there's a team of kind of committees broken up on who handles things. And so on the beer committee, it's mostly the guys that are on the Renaissance Board. So it's myself and Mark Roth and Mike McDonough and Ken Warden. So we kind of
well, I was going to say it's not Frank Tweehues isn't on there because I know I've seen Frank out before, and Frank enjoys wine.
He's a wine drinker. Yeah. I think he'll have a couple beers, I'm sure, at Merchants this year.
That's one of those inside things that probably nobody is going to think is funny except for me.
And I think it's pretty funny too.
So let's talk about how like the beer sponsorships work now. We have West 6th, who's been pouring for how many years now?
So this will be West 6th's third year.
And they're out of Lexington.
They're out of Lexington, and they kind of fit really great with our festival, especially the first year when I came on board. One, they threw dollars at us as far as sponsorship dollars, which is a great thing when you're trying to put on a festival and pay for, you know, booths and bands and everything else that goes along with it. So we hadn't had a beer sponsor until they actually kind of came on board. What was great about them is that they are, at the time, they were the only local craft brewer in Kentucky. Since then, we've got a couple people that have kind of jumped on board with the craft beer industry. But they were the original craft beer of Kentucky, and they are the largest craft brewer in the state. So they got a pretty big operation, really nice footprint here in northern Kentucky. They were looking to expand their brand, and they really like targeting, you know, music festivals. That's the kind of beer drinker that they're looking for, especially ones that are supporting local merchants and supporting all things local, which, you know, the craft beer industry really kind of likes to keep things local. And so kind of perfect fit for our festival. And, you know, the great thing that they were bringing to the table is that they came to us and they wanted to be involved in the festival. And so, you know, when we look for partners and merchants in music, we typically try to find people that aren't just going to slap their logo on something. We want them to really kind of get into the festival and really represent their brand well.
And, you want them to work.
Well, a little bit. Like, I mean, they weren't allowed to like pour beer or anything like that. But, yeah. You know, I wanted them to come and talk about their product and talk about their beers and talk about, you know, their story. And that's kind of what all the rest of our merchants are there doing too. So it really fit in with that. And, they make a great product. You know, their IPAs, I think the number one selling IPA in the state. And
what's the name of it?
It's just West 6th IPA. Oh, they have a new one that's, it's called Half Bite, which is kind of like a session IPA. It's not as alcoholic as the original IPA. It's very good.
So what beers? Do you know what beers they're going to have on Saturday?
Yeah, we've got the cool thing that, about West 6th and about craft breweries is that they like to work with you on things. And so last year, you know, the first year they were at the festival, we just poured their standards, and, you know, we've got a lot of people that really love craft beer here in town. And we also have a lot of people that love just their domestics and like drinking the Bud Lights and the Coors Lights. So last year they actually worked with us and brewed a beer specifically for the festival, which was a Kolsch, lager, and it ran over really well. We sold out of all the kegs of that, for the event. This year they decided they wanted to do a Pilsner for the festival. For you Miller Lite drinkers out there, you should be pretty happy. I think it's really drinkable. It's a lighter version of just about anything that's out there from one of the craft brewers. So we're going to have that as a featured beer at the festival this year. Obviously their IPA, for the hop heads out there, their amber, which is in cans, and you can get all these at Depp's and at Party Source.
So let's break it down real fast. That was four beers?
I think there'll be five.
Five.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's break it down. So for somebody that's not a craft brewery person, they're getting, if they like Miller Lite, they should get
the Pilsner.
If they like Bud Light, they should get
the Pilsner.
If they like Sam Adams, they should get,
I would tell you to get the Amber on the Sam Adams, or if you like Sam Adams Oktoberfest, we're going to have their Oktoberfest as well, which is really good. I won't say it's Sam Adams good, but it's pretty good.
So if they like IPA or hoppy stuff, they should get
the West 6 IPA.
Okay, that's four. What's the other one that I'm missing?
Lemongrass Wheat, which is a light, like almost Blue Moonish type of beer. We had it at the festival for the past 2 years. That's a really popular beer. It sold out last year too. You know, the lighter options obviously do very well at festivals. It's hot outside and people want to drink
light. And it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
It's like 84, sunny.
Yeah, no, perfect. In my head, perfect beer drinking weather. You know, no rain, which is great. We had a little bit of a drizzle last year in the beginning of the day. You know, this year it looks like it's going to be perfect all day long. So it's really exciting.
So let's talk about the bourbon now. Yes. That's Jim Beam that's coming in.
Yeah, so really excited about bourbon this year. I think it's... you know, we're a Kentucky festival. We're in the Commonwealth, you know, the home of bourbon. It doesn't get any more local than this. And so, you know, I felt, and I think our whole committee kind of felt like that was the next step for us, is to really kind of add the spirits industry into the festival and really kind of get those folks on board. And we've got a really great partner this year in Jim Beam. They just fit with the festival. You know, they're really active in the music area. And it's kind of cool because they're launching Jim Beam Double Oaked right now, which is a new line extension for them on their basic Jim Beam white label. So
let me give a quick plug, and they're not paying me, so you know that this is legit. So the Jim Beam rep that we work with a lot in Fort Thomas, his name is Wheeler Yarborough. Wheeler was the speaker at our last Lions Club meeting 2 Mondays ago, and brought the Jim Beam Double Oaked.
Yeah.
So we had three different bourbons there that day. That one was by far the one that everybody preferred. So, and that's not been out very long.
No, I think it's only been on store shelves like a week and a half.
Yeah.
It's really cool. We're going to be doing a couple different cocktails with it at the event. We've got, a really big bourbon tent basically kind of set up. It's going to have a really cool view of the bowl of the amphitheater, and there'll be bourbon barrels in there, and a really cool bar set up. I think it's the first time this bar is actually going to be used in Kentucky.
Nice. So is that where I'm pouring?
You're not.
Oh, damn.
you know, we try to keep your mixology skills to a minimum. The folks from the Highlander Coffee House and Bourbon Bar are going to be manning that because they have a little bit of bourbon expertise. So they're going to be doing an Old Fashioned in that area. They're going to be doing a Kentucky Mule. I think the Kentucky Mule is being done with the Double Oaked.
Yeah,
and then the cool thing that they're doing is a bourbon slush with Ale 8. Ale 8 has a slushy machine deal that they make, and so it's going to be bourbon and Ale 8 slush. So I think that's going to go over very, very well. Hopefully, Rob Robinson and those guys at the event center can handle it. But it's going to be a really cool space. It's right, kind of at the entrance of the festival, and kind of a neat place to kind of hang out and relax, get out of the sun, have a cocktail, listen to some music, and spend the day.
So let's talk about music now. What was your role with the music this year?
Well, you know, I love listening to music. I spend a lot of time in the car. I drive a lot, so I listen to a ton of different stuff. Everybody on our committee listens to a lot of different music. And so, you know, we start looking basically to book the acts almost the week after we have Merchants of Music. It just takes a long time. It's a process. You know, getting a hold of all the different bands and the managers and the talent bookers and all those type of things. Debbie Buckley really does a great job with it. She's kind of the key person on there. You know, I think that she bounces ideas off of us, and we send ideas to her on who we think will be great fits for the festival. You know, would we love to book, you know, the Rolling Stones, and would we love to book Dave Matthews Band? Sure. You know, we're on a limited budget on that thing. I think, you know, it's one of those things that you kind of have to work within your means. Anymore, the landscape on music's changed so much. These guys just don't make any money on album sales. And so that's why you're seeing a lot of them touring like pretty much all year long. To get one of these, you know, national touring acts is a really big deal. Sometimes you just have to work on the band schedules. Other times it's, you know, right place, right time. And so, you know, bands that we think will be a great fit for the festival, you talk to their tour manager and their booking people, and they're just not in this part of the country at that time of the year. And you start booking them out, and sometimes you just hit lightning in a bottle, and they've got a festival in Columbus, and they've got one in Lexington, and they want it someplace in between. I think that was the case for Bret Michaels last year. You know, Bret Michaels was right in between two tour stops, and it just fit perfect for his schedule. You know, the year before, we had Dustin Lynch and Frankie Ballard. I think when we booked them, I want to say Frankie Ballard maybe had one song on the radio, but nobody really knew who they were. And just so happened that B105 had them as the number one song, or at least not Frankie Ballard, but Dustin Lynch is the number one song in the country the morning of the festival. And, you know, I think a lot of that, so I think on that booking specifically, I think was Debbie and Ashley Slaughter and Katie Walters, you know, getting together on that one. And obviously we try to use some of Katie's connections with the radio industry if we can.
So Katie is going to be emceeing the gig again?
Yeah, she does a great job. She's awesome. That's one of those like jobs that's thankless, and like none of us want to do it on the Renaissance board, and we're so lucky that she lives in our town and just thinks that the day is just a great day to be someone that, you know, lives in Fort Thomas and be involved. And you know, she's just really good at that kind
of
stuff. So,
well, I think the true mark of like a good MC, which Katie is that you don't, I mean, you notice them, but you don't notice, they're not like the part of the show that you notice. But if you have a bad one,
everybody knows
yeah, that there's a terrible MC, and it's like you're dreading the next time that they're getting ready to introduce somebody on stage. And Katie's so professional and so good. I think that's what that's really, like you said, a true testament to her.
Yeah, and it's a long day. I think a lot of folks don't realize, but you know, setup starts on Thursday night and it goes, you know, most of the day on Friday. And then, you know, our whole board is there in the morning. I think most everybody gets there between 7 and 7:30, and you're there, most years until 2 or 3 in the morning, working. So you're there all day. And the testament really is to the volunteers and the board, but also to the police and the fire. These folks put in a long day to make it a successful event. And, we're really lucky in our town to have, the backing of the city and the backing of the police and fire. These type of events just don't happen unless those guys are on board. And so, you know, we're a fortunate town. What can I say?
Well, so last year I remember we contracted out some other departments. I guess the reason being is that you would think maybe the crowd for Bret Michaels may be a little bit more rowdy than, say, Dustin Lynch or John Michael Montgomery, or in this case, Brothers Osborne. Are we going through those steps? Have we contracted out, or do we think that the crowd is going to be a little bit mellower than last year?
I don't think it'll be nearly, you know, to be honest, the Bret Michaels crowd is not as young and crazy as it used to be. So we were just kind of preparing for the worst, which you always have to do in these type of things. You want to prepare for every occasion. Last year's crowd was great. We haven't had any arrests or any real issues, to be honest with you, since I've been involved, at least in my experience. But, you know, the Dustin Lynch and Frankie Ballard, there was a lot of like college age girls, because those guys are pretty good looking guys at 20, you know, 25, 26 year old dudes. So there was a bunch of girls that were definitely fans of them. But there's enough fan girls for Bret Michaels last year, too. Believe me, because the meet and greet passes were a hot commodity last year.
So let's talk about the musical acts this year. We have Brothers Osborne as the headliner. Was it one of those scenarios where it just worked out, or was it like a price thing that just was good for us as a city, or was it a combination of both?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of both. We went through, I mean, we started trying to book acts in November and December. And the numbers then were just crazy for just about everybody. And I think a lot of times those, the booking agents and tour managers are just trying to get the best deal for their clients. So you kind of try to figure out whose schedule could maybe work and whittle it down on, you know, a list of maybe 10 or 15 people that you think would be great, that you think we can afford. And then you kind of approach them. And so there's a lot of back and forth that goes into it. And Debbie handles a ton of that. It's a thankless thing that she does.
So how many, you said November, December is when we started putting offers out?
Yeah. I think December was when first offers went out.
When did we sign Brothers Osborne?
I want to say it was like April.
So November, December, January, February, March, April. That's 6 months. How many offers did we put out in 6 months?
We had we had five or six serious ones that like we there was two that we thought for sure we were gonna get, and then
other venues vultured us.
Yeah, that kind of happens. And so what happened, a lot of times is, a festival will come in and offer them more money, and so they sit on the offer for a while. You want to have somebody that's relevant. And we tried, actually, at the beginning, the thought was to do an all-Kentucky festival this year and have all-Kentucky bands. And so there were some opportunities there with some Kentucky bands that were trying to – I don't want to bring up any names.
No, go ahead.
We do have two of them. Two of the Kentucky bands are playing this year.
So that's Sunday Best and Kentucky Headhunters.
Correct, yeah. Some folks
Are they bigger?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think who's from Kentucky.
Well, I'll give you two that we thought that we may have a shot at. That was Dwight Yoakam, because he's from Kentucky. It wasn't going to happen after the Billboard Awards, but Chris Stapleton's from Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
And so is Sturgill Simpson. So those are three pretty, relevant people that are out there right now.
That was just a price issue on the bigger guys.
Yeah, one was Sturgill Simpson was doing arena tours in the fall, so he wasn't going to work. Chris Stapleton's price, more than quadrupled after the Billboard Awards.
And he was the guy that did the duet with, was it Justin Timberlake?
Correct.
Yeah, that, got shared by everybody on Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and all that kind of stuff for a week. That's all you saw on your feed.
Yeah, it was amazing. That album is really great. It's in my head the album of the year last year. It was really good. So, we tried to go away from country a little bit too after the Kentucky thing wasn't working, and we tried to book some bands that were kind of more indie rock or Americana type of stuff that are super relevant right now as well. And tour schedules didn't work out, or if they had one hit on the radio, they're asking for way too much money. And so we kind of came back to country, and country is just, there's so many artists that are really talented that put on great shows. And we had the opportunity to book Brothers Osborne, and they really kind of fit the bill for what we're trying to do. That sound that they have is the hot sound right now, like a Chris Stapleton or a Sturgill Simpson. And they were going to spend the whole summer opening for Miranda Lambert, so we knew that they were going to get a lot of exposure in the nation. And so they're coming straight off the tour with her. I think they just finished up last week with her, and they're starting actually their own headlining tour here in the fall. So we're kind of like the in-between date before they start their own headlining tour, which is really cool.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the bands that in the past. What's the craziest, biggest name that has been floated that was an actual serious contender?
This year we had an offer out I thought was really cool for Grace Potter. There's not too many female rock stars out there anymore. We've had a lot of guys. I think we've had a female singer since Jody Messina. So I thought that was going to be that could be a really cool act. And she kind of has rock and country. But she got a huge offer there's a Nashville festival the same weekend as our festival.
Which one?
It's this weekend. It's down there. She's playing Saturday night, on their festival. We actually had, I think we were on the phone with back and forth with her for almost a month. I thought that was a done deal, but, she got a lot of money.
So do you hear those conversations ever? Negotiations?
They'll come back and tell you, yeah, we got this offer XYZ.
Is it like a negotiating like a car or type thing, or is the language different? Are the, what's it like when you're dealing with those people?
Well, I let Debbie handle most of that stuff, because at the end of the day, she's a city employee and I'm just a volunteer. So,
you don't get paid for this?
No, I don't know. I just love living here. What can I say? I love
living here. He said that, and he's not even running for council.
Nothing. No, I'm just hanging out.
I know some of his boys are, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a couple guys are running. A couple good guys out there.
We're not dropping.
I'm not plugging names today.
I would have edited that out anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that everybody that's involved on our board just loves the town. They're all small business owners. They all love living here. They want to try to find a way to give back. seems like everybody really enjoys the festival, and so we try to make it as good as it can possibly be. You know, Linda's doing a really nice job this year chairing the festival, and she handles all the stuff that, you know, to be honest with you, is not the glamorous things that anybody really wants to do. So kudos to her, and kudos to Debbie on handling a lot of the details.
So we did, I think, maybe 6 articles so far on merchants and music. And one of the articles, a lot of those have been written by Jennifer Cole, who's done a really good job with those. But one of the articles that she wrote was how to merchants. You know, we did one like how to art around town, where it was kind of a silly thing where I talked about some of the secrets of, you know, how to take advantage of certain parking spots or certain deals or the best place to get a drink or a snack or something like that. You read that, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's a cool way to do it.
Well, okay, so here's the question. The question, what did we leave out? What is somebody that has worked, you know, as a volunteer for Renaissance Board and on Merchants and Music, what do you know about Merchants and Music that you take advantage of that the general public doesn't?
You know, there's a couple of things. One, I think volunteering is a really cool way to see the day. And so we always look for volunteers. It's only like a 2-hour shift typically. And that's a fun way to see the event and see kind of all the behind the scenes stuff, because you kind of can go wherever. You know, the not so secret things are like where the portalettes are, like that aren't used as much as some of the other ones. You know, I think the cool thing that we did, one of the cool things that we have going on this year is that Pompilio's is sponsoring the festival, and they're doing all the VIP food this year. You know, if you're a business in town, that's a pretty good deal. You can get, you know, your booze and your food and all that stuff in the VIP area and have probably the best view in the entire place.
Quick point on that. My grandmother was one of the first original ravioli makers at Pompilio's.
No way.
My grandmother and Ruby Pompilio are sisters. Quick tip. Continue.
They're coming. I think they're going to sell not only meatball subs this year, they're also going to sell their sauce, which I think just went gluten-free and like it's super organic now. So they just
Montgomery Inn did that too.
Yeah.
Do you think it tastes different?
I don't know. I haven't tried the Montgomery Inn since I changed it.
I prefer gluten.
Just throw me all the gluten you got. That's okay. What I'm in for.
Yeah, man. Like you when they take the gluten out, you know it's going to taste different.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Those big brands like that, like messing. I get it. People have gluten allergies. Got to take the gluten out. But what is – I don't even know. What is gluten? Is it like wheat?
Where did it come from? Like, where did this all of a sudden become a thing, I guess, is my question. It's like, how long have we lived? Like, we grew up and, like, no one heard about gluten until, like, 5 years ago. And all of a sudden now it's a deal.
You know people that are listening right now to this, like, that know about this stuff are like, oh,
these guys don't know what the hell they're talking about.
They don't. And this is what happens, because you got to know when you do these podcasts like this, you got to know a little bit about everything. But – you can't know everything about everything. So this is one of those things that admittedly I don't know a lot about. I just feel like messing with the Pompilio sauce or messing with the Montgomery Inn sauce and taking the gluten out of it, kind of playing with fire a little bit.
Yeah, the family. I mean, that's a family thing too. I don't know how they get away with that. I'm friends with the Gregory family, and I'm kind of surprised they did it, to be honest with you. But
well, it's because Alexis isn't there anymore.
Yeah. She runs the show. She runs the type ship, that's for sure.
She does. What else, Brian?
I'm really excited for the day. I think the main goal is to visit Mark in the dunking booth and knock him into the water.
You don't know what time that is.
I would say hang out and try to make that happen. It's really close to the kids zone, so I know I'll be there for pretty much the first part of the day because my kids are coming up. I would say that if you want to talk about how to merchants, my people with kids, I have a 4.5-year-old and 2.5-year-old. It's almost like two festivals. You come up for the day during the day. The kids zone is going to be awesome this year. Todd from the Y and Tracy and Linda and really kind of everybody worked on that. The goal with that was to drive traffic earlier in the day for the merchants, You know, we want as many people there early in the day as possible, so that way they can sit and talk to different people and shop and do all that kind
and
of
stuff. And that's the ultimate goal of Merchants and Music, right? Is to help the local businesses in town.
The first thing in the name of the title of the festival is Merchants. So it's supposed to be about the merchants, and the music is the music and the beer and the food are supposed to be the draw to attract to the local merchants. And so there's going to be a lot of great vendors in town that are going to be participating this year. A lot of great food. I think there's like 10 to 15 food trucks. I'm not sure the number. A lot of barbecue. But the Kid Zone, I think, is going to be really cool during the day. There's, you know, bearded dragons for kids to pet. The Mad Cat puppets are awesome. Anna and Elsa, my girls, are going to be super stoked about that.
I'm not touching that bearded dragon.
It's cool, dude. I honestly, I've never seen one. And I was like, I had to ask. They were at the Florence Freedom ballpark, and I had to ask the guy, I'm like, what is that? And they said bearded dragon, and my kids both touched it. I'm not touching it.
I don't like stuff like that. Like, you know those little lizards that are on the north side of town that, like, hang out on rocks? And
yeah.
We have them all over here. I don't touch those things. I don't like them getting near me. I'm not touching that bearded dragon. I'm not doing it.
It's cool looking. I don't think I'm holding it anytime soon. They had snakes and all kinds of stuff. So some kids love it, some kids don't, you know. It'll be good.
Well, where can we find out more about Merchants and Music?
You know, all the updates are on the Facebook page. We've got a new website this year as well, so feel free to check that out. It's got the lineup for the day for music. It's also got the lineup for the Kids Zone.
Frequently asked questions, probably.
Yes, yeah, all things that you need to know.
Let's get rid of some of that stuff real quick. No coolers, no pets. What else?
No coolers, no pets. You can bring folding chairs and blankets if you want to. You know, just be a mindful citizen of the people that are going to come to the festival. And, you know, we don't want outside alcoholic beverages. I'm trying to think of anything else I'm missing.
Don't be
a jerk. Yeah. Have fun.
Be a normal person.
Yeah. Can
you? Behave yourself, because I'll tell you this. I want to hang out that day. I don't want to go cover something, you know, that happens in the middle of the day or at night.
We want zero breaking alerts. We want zero exclusives at Fort Thomas Matters. That's the goal.
Have fun, but behave yourself, Fort Thomas, please. Well, Brian Sand, thanks so much for being on the show. You can check back. Like he said, on the Merchants and Music Facebook page, or is it merchantsandmusic.com?
Yep, merchantsandmusic.com.
All right. For Brian Sand, this is Mark Collier, Fort Thomas Matters Radio. Once again, thank you to Brian Sand and Linda Sloan for talking about Merchants and Music Festival this year, which again is going to be this Saturday, September 24th from 1 o'clock to noon at Tower Park in Fort Thomas. A few housekeeping tips. If you want to access the rest of our Fort Thomas Matters podcast archive, you can do so a couple of ways. Number one, at fortthomasmatters.podbean, that's podbean.com. Or wherever you listen to your podcast or download your podcast, just search Fort Thomas Matters and the podcast archive will come up. This is especially true on things like iTunes, which is directly on your iPhone device. You don't even have to download the app. And another thing that you can do, rate us. That really helps us in terms of moving our podcast up the ranks. It'll really help us, and it really, really helps our sponsor, which again is Omega Processing Solutions. So for Linda Sloan and Brian Sand, once again, this is Mark Collier for Thomas Matters Radio.